Welcome to Publish or Perish FM, social selling in the age of content marketing. This is the podcast for innovative and scale-seeking sales leaders and CMOs. Here's your host, Jeff Leo Herman.
Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 22 of Publish or Perish FM. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2016. Now, I'm really thrilled to be here with you today. We're going to focus on one thing to scale relationships and scale revenue, as always. And that one thing is which social media platforms we can ignore, especially as it relates to the emergence of live video. So the good news is we have a social media expert on with us today to help us work through the wide variety of platforms available. So the reason being, why are we spinning up this topic? So last week, we covered the top 10 reasons content marketing drives sales productivity. And reason number 6, we know which social media platforms to embrace and which ones to ignore because of the persona, right? Sparked a lot of conversation online, on social media, of course. And so we want to dig into this one a little bit, right? We want to really dig in and understand, with a wide variety of social media platforms available today, which ones, you know, just from a simple productivity and effectiveness standpoint, which ones we should dig into. And the question is, we always have to ask why, right? So why are we even talking about this? You know, our goal is to connect and communicate with our prospects and customers. And the reason being, you know, we want to stand out, get their attention, and build trust. And we've often discussed the whole idea that if your sales team is relying on email and phone tactics, that's easy to ignore, right? You're just another name in the inbox that they're ignoring. If your team's even social selling, it's wonderful they're social selling, but if their LinkedIn profile is superficial and lacks depth, that's easy to ignore as well. So of course we champion video as a method to break through and build trust and credibility. And video, and specifically live video, is becoming more prominent across the social media platforms. So the social platforms are adding a live video component to their toolkit. So we want to dig into that. And once again, we have an expert here with us today to help us understand the value of which social media platforms to embrace and which ones to ignore. And her name is Angela Krieger. Let's jump in and talk to Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, I'm thrilled you're here. I mean, I grab you all the time for a minute here, a minute there. So this is great to have you on the podcast. So let's break this down. Why should we care about Snapchat? Like, what's the point of Snapchat? Is that...
Yeah, so Snapchat, you know, is one of the newest and most emerging, fastest growing social channels. Its user base is mainly teens, people in their early young 20s, and it's great because you can communicate quick with your friends. You have your disappearing snaps, you have your story to see what you're up to. Brands are capitalizing on its Discover tool, where you can post content on a daily basis that lives there for 24 hours, and they're just opening up their advertising API. So I'm really excited to see how this channel grows, but it's definitely a channel for the younger user base, and one for all of us to keep our eye on as that younger user base matures and grows. It's something that if you're not targeting, users in their teens, early 20s, that I don't think you necessarily need to be on right now, but something to definitely keep your eye on as that user base matures and maybe becomes part of your target audience.
Right. So if you're operating in the B2C space and have that younger demographic, you should certainly care. You should be there, right?
You should definitely be there.
But if you're in B2B and say you're selling SaaS tools,
Probably not the channel for you.
Woo, I feel better. I've struggled with Snap. I've not struggled. I've not really adopted it fully. So
yeah, and I think it's a new channel, so brands are still discovering the best ways to use it to tap into their user base. So most of its history is personal to personal connections.
Right. Well, and that's interesting, and that's the spirit of a lot of our dialogue is, we as individuals have the ability to communicate and break through. And what's the best tool we can use to communicate and break through?
Mm-hmm.
And our legacy, at least here, at least my perspective, has been via YouTube and Twitter and LinkedIn. And I think I'll probably stick with that for the time being, right?
Definitely great channels for what you're trying to accomplish.
Right, right. So that's great to know. And so let's talk about Instagram for a second, because I took a position against Instagram, and then my buddy Jack Kozakowski said, no, dude, you really, and he actually said, dude.
Like, yeah.
He said, you really should do, I'm crushing it on Instagram, you need to jump on. So just give us a little background on Instagram.
Yeah, so when Instagram started, it was actually an iPhone-only app. Android users couldn't get on there, so that was really interesting. And there was a big discussion once they opened it up to Android if it would be the death of Instagram, but clearly it was not. It was originally a photo-based app, so sharing your photos, what you're doing throughout the day, and it's based a lot on photography, but now they've opened it up to video, which opens up so much more capabilities for Instagram. You're able to communicate a little bit better with your audience. And it's great because it's quick, it's in feed, it's app only right now, which is awesome. You can view it on your desktop computer, but you can't actually post anything from desktop. So that's really interesting.
That explains a lot, because I've many times been wondering about Instagram. Mm-hmm. I go onto my laptop and I'm like, what is this? I don't know what this is. So you're telling me it's an app only experience?
Yes, it really is an app only experience, similar to Snapchat.
And yeah, Snapchat is really an app-only experience. So that explains a ton. Like, you've made me feel better because I didn't get it. Well, I wasn't even looking in the right place. Right?
Yep. So it's definitely an app-only experience. And I'm excited to see how Instagram grows, opening up their advertising API, being owned by Facebook. You have all that great Facebook data, and you're able to target users on Instagram just like you do on Facebook through ads. So I'm excited to see how it grows for brands and how it becomes really an effective tool for them to reach their customers.
So if I'm a sales and marketing leader looking to break through as an individual and evolve as a thought leader, you know, you have Instagram, which sounds like a good bet because the way Facebook is innovating to embrace video. Now you have Twitter, which actually you can do video responses. So Gary Vaynerchuk does a lot of video responses. I'm copying him, and I've actually started to tweet back to people with a video response.
Yeah.
So is that a good experience?
I think that it's a great experience. So a lot of social and connecting with your customers on social is the community management side of social. So how are you interacting with your community? How are you managing your community? And what is that experience like? And it's so important, always to reply to customers. That's a best practice in community management. But this video replying really gives you a more personal way to connect to your user base. So whether, you know, you're responding to them and you're putting a face behind that handle, this is a face, this is a personality, this is who this is. If you're a brand, I think it's incredibly powerful. Users, I think, so many times think, oh, it's just a computer, it's just a handle, so I'm not really talking to a real person, but there's a real person behind there that's managing this community, that's passionate about this brand or this company. So the video responses, I think, are going to be really powerful for Twitter.
Right. And even from an ease of use standpoint, so I think the good news is we're probably all of us in the audience here are familiar with Twitter. So the functionality of literally how to do a video response, it's like when you do the tweet, you click on photo or video, right?
Yep.
And you hold down the button, and you have 30 seconds?
Yeah, I believe it's 30 seconds
to record, which is longer than the 10 seconds of Snapchat, right?
Correct, yes.
So that's interesting, and the B2B audience certainly is much deeper, and the demographic composition of Twitter is much broader and older, right?
Correct, yes.
So I don't know that I think I'm factoring Twitter video into my strategy more recently, and I think that's it's a better way to break through to at least the persona.
I agree with breaking through the noise. Twitter's been highly text and image based since its existence, so this video will really help you, I think, break through the noise of the rest of the tweets that users are seeing in their feed.
Wow. So now you have like Facebook Live. So we did a Facebook Live session yesterday. I've ignored Facebook for business purposes. I'm because of Facebook Live and because of the depth of the platform and the investments that Facebook is making. And there, I thought they were, you know, the whole story was, oh, Facebook's going to die. Everyone's using Snapchat. But I think they've gained a lot of ground. They've gained a lot of traction, and they're continuing to strengthen their hold on the broad array of demographics. So would you rather see Facebook Live or say Periscope? Like, how do you draw the comparisons between Periscope, say, or even Blab? Like, where do you throw that all in the mix together?
Yeah, so, you know, Facebook is kind of becoming like the Google of social media, I would say. It's becoming that all-encompassing now that they own Instagram. You know, the live feed was really what they were missing from, you know, Periscope, which is owned by Twitter. So I think that it'll be interesting to see how that takes over. You know, everyone thought Vine was going to be the big new video platform, and it didn't really take off as everyone envisioned that it would. And I think, you know, then we had the introduction of Periscope. I think Facebook Live and opening it up to all of its users, there's already such, when Facebook has a new tool like this, there's always such a broad user base on Facebook. People are already used to using Facebook. It's so much easier for them to adopt it on Facebook than it is to sign up for a new handle on a new channel and adopt that new channel and really embrace it. So I think that Facebook Live is really going to kind of take over this live video streaming.
Wow. And how about that relative to even YouTube? Do you think they're going to take a bite out of YouTube?
They've been trying. So last year when Facebook introduced that you can, you know, upload videos via Facebook, their algorithm started prioritizing Facebook video over shared videos on YouTube. So they're trying to really own that video space and using their algorithms to their advantage. So, you know, I'm sure that with Facebook Live, live YouTube streams are going to be deprioritized with the algorithm, and they've already announced that they're prioritizing Facebook Lives into people's news feeds. So,
right. I mean, the good part about, say, for example, YouTube, it's the second biggest search engine, right?
Oh, yeah. And I definitely don't think YouTube's going away anytime soon.
So it's good news that it's you can post a lot of content, and that's a great host for your channel. But it's bad news. It's so massive and so giant that now's the time to probably really embrace Facebook Live if you want to tell stories in a persistent way. And then, you know, net, though, I did the Facebook Live session, downloaded the video, put a picture of it on LinkedIn, and then uploaded that to YouTube. So I'm still building out the depth of the YouTube channel.
Right.
Is that still important to have a YouTube channel, right?
I agree. And I think that being cross-channel on the right channels is what's really important for brands. So what channels are your users on? Like, who are you trying to reach? What channels are they on? And what's the most effective way to reach them? You know, if you have users who are probably on Facebook, on YouTube, on LinkedIn, but the users that have adopted YouTube and embrace YouTube might not be the same that are going to be early adopters for Facebook Live and embrace that. So that cross-channel promotion is still very important when it comes to the social space.
Right. And so, that's the last question here is LinkedIn specifically. So I live in that platform. I spend 80% of my day inside of LinkedIn or LinkedIn Sales Navigator. There is no video option, right? There's no native video option. It's imagery is just kind of taking hold. So what do you think that LinkedIn's going to make a video play?
I think that it would be very smart for them to make a video play. It would really break through their feed. Right now, you know, it's a lot of articles and text and imagery. And I think that they'll probably follow suit with a lot of these other platforms. Video is becoming such an important way of how we communicate socially. So I think that I would be really surprised if they didn't adopt a video into their platform.
Wow. All right. So this is great. We're going to wrap it up here, but it sounds like from Angela's great advice, here's the tick list, right? For the time being, let's put Snapchat aside.
Yeah.
As much as I want to be like cool, and I do it just to be cool with everyone here, you know, who are in their 20s, I'm going to stop using Snapchat. I'm going to pick up Instagram, right, because of the integration with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Probably do more Facebook Live.
Yep.
And that's the reach is really the key,
reach
right?
Is
it's just
really
built-in reach.
And, you know, they're prioritizing that. I think becoming an early adopter there is going to be really beneficial for you, Jeff.
Right, right. And then at the end of the day, the library of content is YouTube. So I'll use YouTube as my library. Like, hey, here's my channel. Everything I do ultimately ends up on YouTube anyway. And that's just like a great repository, if you will. So I guess YouTube's still critical. The engagement on YouTube is horrible, though. No one really engages, like, as far as responses and comments. It's not that great of a platform for comments, right?
No, I think it's more of a platform for discovery. People are using it like a search engine. How do I do this? How do I do that? What's the best practices for this? And once they get into a channel, it's a lot of viewing and it's not a lot of engaging between users.
Right. Cool. This is great. Angela, this has been extremely helpful. This will be the first of many conversations. You know, we have many every day that we don't record, but I'd love to have you back and we'll check in on our progress. But thanks a lot, Angela. Appreciate your information today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff. This was great. I'm happy to provide some insight on social channels for you.
Tell people where to find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Krieger at Work.
Cool. Thanks. As always, I would love for you to visit us, of course, on iTunes and subscribe. And if you like the content, please leave a rating and review. It really helps new podcasts like this one especially get discovered. And please email me at jeff@publishorperish.fm, as in Frank Mary, with your feedback and comments. Thanks again. As always, I hope we all think like marketers and sell like animals. Cheers. And I can feel the pull. It's time to open my cage and see who I can be.